Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome, everyone. The time is near. It's really near. It's extremely close. We've got regrets, and we have some, you know, things that have worked our way, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about our portfolio. We're going to talk about what's going on in Pete's life, his trip to Vegas. We're going to talk about Davis and just some of the I think Davis has some good mental nuggets he's going to give us this show. So make sure you stay tuned. It's the Swolecast, RotoGrinders.com. Welcome, everyone, to the Swolecast. David Kitchen, a.k.a. Soccer Dave, Peter Roverzet, Davis Matic on the show. Level 1 to 10 burnout, Pete. Where are you right now?
So I'm not burned out with fantasy. I'm still having a ton of fun drafting. I'm burned out with doing real-life stuff, like calling my electrician every 10 minutes and trying to change all my addresses and cleaning a house and figuring out all this new shit. That's what I'm burned out on, Dave. I can draft teams until the cows come home.
Do you think that drafting is like an outlet for you then right now?
I would say it's an escape, Dave. I would say kind of everything we do here is an escape from the world, and I value that.
Yeah, who needs therapy when you can just draft all sorts
men? Men would rather draft 500 best ball teams instead of going to therapy.
Well, what was crazy to me is I've been drafting a shit ton of teams. What I didn't realize is the number I've drafted on stream, and Michael Dubner's been tracking all of my live streams, and he let me know I just passed 100 live stream drafts this summer, which is like, I don't even know how that math works out. I mean, that's just an absurd amount.
Well, is he counting randomizers?
I don't think he's counting randomizers. I think it's anything splash play, my channel, ship chasing.
I did not watch, but I heard that there was an adventure on Club Top Shot wasting one of your BBM3 bullets.
Luckily, it was not my bullet. We did that one on Clay's account. But yes, Jack and Clay have some very galaxy brain ideas of how to draft teams.
Did they take Isaiah Likely in the 14th round?
No, they took the lacrosse player on the Falcons.
The running back. Yeah, Bernhardt, the running back.
Yes.
Or wide receiver.
Yeah, yeah. And then people are in like my mentions now telling me he's a great pick. So maybe I'm the one who's wrong.
Sounds like you need to live a little. Davis, level 1 to 10, your burnout, how is it going?
Life, 1 out of 10. My life is so not stressful right now. Like, wedding planning is over, like all that stuff completely in the rear view. Fantasy, 10 out of 10. I'm drafting on 3 platforms 11 to 12 hours a day because it's like, don't get lazy right now. Don't get lazy the last week. Wait a week to be lazy.
You've worked so hard until now.
Take you to set up those recurring referral tweets for drafters? I mean, that had to have been.
Well, yesterday I got like an absurd amount of referrals, like the most referrals I've ever gotten in a day doing anything. So I was like, again, don't get lazy now. Like, sure, let Tuttle and Pete get their jokes in now.
Let them body bag you.
Yeah, let them body bag you. It's like, it's like, you know, money is very important. And so get the bag right now. Now is bag
pairing you with the cash. I knew because you're typically not the type of guy to tweet out something and then retweet it, you know, a couple hours later. And you did that.
Correct.
So that's how I knew you were grinding the edges.
Davis, I just from a pure GTO Twitter thing, I think a follow-up thread tweet bump to the original tweet's more valuable than a cold retweet.
More effort.
Oh my God. But you just gave a pump talk to not get lazy down and stay focused, and you can't do a follow-up?
No, you are totally correct.
Yeah. The good news is that number one, the season's approaching, and number two, Davis, Labor Day is approaching. And I think with all the hard work you've been doing recently, you just need to give yourself a day off.
How many teams do we think I can draft on Labor Day?
Oh, gosh. I mean, how many? I guess it would be however many you wanted to, like multi-table.
I bet you'll draft 10 teams on Labor Day.
I told Pete, your chat, I told them if I really focused on it, I could do 100 teams in a day.
Get the fuck out of here.
Sounds like a challenge, Davis.
Yeah, stream it, dude.
No, because that's you're like whatever extra brain power you need to like figure out a correlation in 3 seconds when you're on the clock, you're wasting that trying to talk.
All right. So over the weekend, we had obviously last preseason games, and then we had all the cuts this week. You feeling good? You feeling bad about things? I know Rojo, like you barely like, I don't know. Did you want him to be cut and maybe go to a better team?
You can see it either way. Honestly, like if Rojo got cut the way Michelle got cut and then signed with the Chargers, that would be a clear win. But like re-signing with the Buccaneers or being like the Texans third stringer or whatever, clear loss, right? So seems fine.
Yeah,
it's so dire right now for Rojo that it's like I really don't know what is better, being fourth on the depth chart or getting cut and being third on the depth chart somewhere else. Like, I don't even know.
You just hope there's some sort of path where he hits, he's a league winner, basically.
Yeah, that's what my – luckily, I've been fading him so hard in my over the past 2 weeks that I'm down from, like, 21% to 15%. If we could get that sub-10 here, I don't know if the math checks out on that, but it would make me feel better from just an optics perspective of staring at that exposure all season long.
Yeah. I went to the beach for our – league draft or home league draft. This is year 17 for us. Last year we try to go somewhere every year. Last year I went to Fort Worth, Texas. This year the beach. It's always fun when people are like, oh, bachelor party, and you're like, no, fantasy football draft, just to see the responses that you get. And so I wasn't really plugged. I was unplugged, I guess you could say. But I did see a tweet that came across. I got tagged in a few tweets when Treylon Burks scored. And
it was a good touchdown too.
And that's all it took to get me back on the Treylon Burks train, where I was happy with the exposure that I got.
You know what, Kitchen? I'm on the Malik Willis train. He's fun, dude.
He's really fun. Really fun, but also it's so Harold Landry, obviously. What do you do?
I mean, I feel like I mean, considering how hard it is for me to grow a beard, I feel like I have a decent amount of chest hairs. I feel like ripping, sipping is uncalled for.
For those podcast listeners out there, we had a listener just ask.
For the audio listeners.
I will individually count every one of my
David doesn't even know this whole bit that we did.
No, I don't. But for those listening on podcast, ripping, sipping asked, do Cowboys win more games than Pete has chest hairs? Because obviously Pete's showing his muscles and his chest hair right now. Pete, you got a nice little chest hair spread.
Did I ever tell you, Kitchen? You'll love this story. So I didn't go through puberty until probably junior year of high school. And when I played basketball And I was afraid. I didn't like doing the over the arm stretches because I had no armpit hair. And I was so embarrassed that every other guy on the team just had a bushel of armpit hair that I'd be doing like my stretches like this, as if they didn't know that I was a prepubescent kid with no armpit hair.
Yeah, mine was, we talked about it. Every no shave November is just like disappointments, basically, for me. So maybe this year is the year. I don't know. Maybe I'll be like Davis and get some dark hair color, whatever you use, hair dye.
Hey, man, I grew a beard for the first time in my life, like the last month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. but as far as Malik Willis goes, Titans lose Harold Landry, which they just signed for like $80 million. Big defensive guy. And that just makes me, it bummed me out yesterday. Incredibly bummed out. And I'm just like,
is that what led you to wanting to trade away Tannehill in the?
And I'm just like, let's just
super flex best ball dynasty tight end premium league.
Yeah, I'm like, let's just start Malik Willis and see what happens, because he is fun, but he's also going to make a ton of mistakes. But like, sometimes he's out there. And
are you now bearish on King Henry because Harold Landry has an ACL injury?
No, I just think that the Titans are not going to be as good.
Well, it would not make any sense for them to start Malik Willis and also give the ball to Derrick Henry 900 times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could do both. We have not seen Malik Willis and Derrick Henry on the field at the same time. It could be just like an incredible combination that the league has literally never seen before. Imagine Michael Vick and, the best running back together.
I'm not even going to jump on that hyperbole, because I am now just at this point firmly rooting for Malik Willis to play. Like, I'm like the most anti-Tannehill guy after this pre. Like, I just
no. Malik and, Willis. How do you keep that guy off?
How do you keep him on the bench? I mean,
just put him out there and let him cook.
Oh, like literally, it would be the most Titans thing to just be like to Trey Lance Malik Willis effectively, to just like watch the starter whelp around. Malik Willis comes in, you know, Tannehill strains his knee or something. Malik Willis runs for like 103 yards in a game, and then Tannehill's out there limping around the next week.
I still think Tanny is a great value this year. Like, I do. I think he's a great value. I think people, they went way too far as far as the hate that he got from that one game. But
well,
this
is the problem with taking Tannehill. It's my same problem with taking Mariota, is like, maybe a per game basis they will be values. But what are the odds they're starting in week 17? I think it's so low that they are bad pick. Like, I like taking Tannehill.
You cannot say that for Tannehill.
I feel pretty confident. I would make it like minus 120.
They were the first place team in the AFC last year. No, I'm being serious. Like, if they're winning at any sort of decent clip, why would they replace him?
Don't they start the year? Don't they have like a pretty bad schedule? Oh no, they have a pretty easy schedule.
So I understand Mariota. Like, I understand if that's your thesis. I do not understand Tannehill. Like, there has to be a serious injury.
Well, he's also 34 and like kind of a mobile guy, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, okay.
If that's your thesis, then sure. He's going to get hurt.
Well, I'm just saying there are multiple outs. There are like, I foresee more ways he's not starting than he is. Like, I think it's more likely that the Titans are out of it than they are heavily contending for a second wild card spot.
Because the AFC South is so loaded.
No, because the AFC, it is in the range of outcomes that all four AFC West teams are playoff teams. Like, that could happen.
Yeah, but Texans and Jags are not going to be good. You agree with that, right?
Correct.
So, really, they just have to compete with the Colts. All right, enough with the Titans talk. I didn't even bring up the Titans talk. I think Davis did.
Well, I actually think that the Malik Willis and the preseason stuff made them more interesting.
Yeah.
I need to point out, there's been two phrases uttered by both of you guys that are shocking the show. Dave said, enough with the Titans talk. And Davis said, I'm not even going to go to that level of hyperbole. And I'm just like, what is going on?
Your whole worldview. That's how burnt out my dopamine receptors are, is I can't even bring myself to over-exaggerate.
And that's why, Davis, I feel like, just in the secret chat, you have you are preparing yourself. Like, maybe you're not in a great space right now, but you are preparing yourself to be in a better space because of the unhealthy offseason that you have.
Yes,
had.
If I don't have a reset wager during the NFL season, my mental health is going to go down. So I rebooked the same bet I did with Wiggins last year, which is honestly, even if I lose, just the existence of it with 60 minutes of exercise, 10 minutes of meditation, 30 minutes of reading daily, it's just going to put me in a much better place.
Yeah. Peter, you just moved into a new house.
Mm-hmm.
You've obviously got a lot of stuff going on the work front.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a baby at some point this season.
Mm-hmm.
What's your mental health going to be this fall?
What is my mental health going to be this fall? You know what? Yeah. I honestly, at least with the season, right? The rhythm of what you're doing
gets more easier.
Established, I feel like.
But you can also establish yourself in unhealthy habits.
True. Well, I had an incredible stretch in the spring, which happens to me all the time, where I get all my good habits going. And then like best ball, once I started realizing, basically what happened is I realized I was behind pace to max BBM3. And the only time I can really draft is at night right before bed.
Yep.
So then the phone came back into the room. Then you're checking the phone first thing you wake up and just
100%.
Everything blown to pieces. And I don't really see that changing for probably the rest of my life now that I'm going to have a child.
I do.
Yeah, mental health is over for Pete for at least the next 15 years.
and next year, you know, when you're helping out with the baby and everything, you are going to have times where you're rocking the baby
mm-hmm.
and drafting at the same time.
Yeah.
As I remember me in 2018 on draft, just like I remember specifically there was one point and I was changing a diaper and I got news that who was the Washington guy from LSU, the running back? Darius Geis. Yeah, like something had happened to him. And I just remember like changing the diaper, having all the powder or whatever there, the cornstarch, and just like having to take a moment while I'm changing the diaper. And that was just like a time where I just had to be like, okay, this is not healthy.
If Davis were to ever be a father, because he's a better multitasker than me, you know, I feel like I'm going to max out maybe rocking, drafting. Davis would have three things going on, right? He'd have the drafting, the baby. What would be the third thing, Davis?
Podcast.
I could see you doing a TV show too while you're riding Davis drafting.
I mean, we can truly only hope that I am able to reach that level of multitasking as a father.
The true test for those that have heard the stories of Britt Devine grinding the edges, he would send out probably, I don't know, 10 trades a day to try to get his best ball dynasty fantasy teams better. He's not even sending out any trades right now. He actually had to take a step back from commissioning.
He DM'd our group chat and he was like, this is too much. I can't do it.
And he just had his head won. You know, like there's for those people that have multiple kids out there, it's
someone in the ship chasing chat the other night, we were doing the draft, admitted that they would go bum hunting on Reddit for auction leagues and just join like $50 and $100 auction leagues with randos because they had such an edge in them. And I was just like, there's a level of EV hunting. You got to draw the line somewhere. And I personally draw it before going on Reddit.
I just draw it at any auction related format.
No.
Even if I was guaranteed to get first place, is 4 hours of my time worth $500?
Auction is just so fun. We had our auction draft over the weekend was so fun. I would do it if I knew that if payouts were automatic, basically.
Right. Like that's what I was saying.
Your buddy could fall for a Ponzi scheme. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kitchen, coming to a Reddit board near you guys. You know, post your available auction leagues. Kitchen,
I want to host an auction. It's like after you do an auction league, you're like, well, now what? Like, I just prepared for that thing, and I can't really use it again. We did have our league that Peter Schenke hosts. We had
Kitchen,
that. That's
I think
auction.
I think FFPC does like relatively high stakes auctions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could do like a $1,500 auction league.
Oh man. The live stream of that would
the
be
problem. The problem is those guys love Derrick Henry too. They don't like Treylon Burks though. You'd for sure be able to get Treylon for a good price.
Gosh, So, all right, we're going to talk about exposures here in a second. Damian Pierce, though, is he going to be the chalkiest chalk of week one? Let's just get into it.
How much is he?
I think he's like 4K, right?
I think
seriously. Oh God.
I think Wandale actually, because he is the stone man.
No, Davis. If Pierce is 4K,
I'm checking right now.
Also, while Davis pulls this up, is this absurd that in a week from now we're going to be building a week
a lineup? Yeah. It is such. He is 4.8K. They are at home to the Colts. Theoretically, without sweating too hard, you can fit all the guys, right? You can play Lamar, you can play CMC, you can play Justin Jefferson, you can play Kamara. Pretty good.
I can see the tweet right now. Well, the Damian Pierce slappies got there. You know it's happening.
I mean, Blender already has that scheduled, bro.
Yeah. I cannot wait to fade Damian Pierce week one and have him just shove it down my throat. I feel like Damian Pierce is going to be our generation's Derrick Henry, where it's just fade, shove it down your throat, shove it down your throat.
I do. I kind of think that the Damian Pierce stuff has gotten a little
out of
crazy.
Hand?
Yeah, because
in which direction? The blowback or the steam?
He's too hot. He went at the 3-4 turn of a main I did the other night.
Yeah.
I think he should go where like Gibson and Josh Jacobs go. I think that's totally fair for him.
But we talked about this 2 or 3 weeks ago, and this is before Marvin Mack got released, obviously, and before they held him out. But like that was the guy I was like most concerned about not having the most exposure to or any relative exposure to. And ever since then, it has gotten even worse, where they've gotten rid of Marlon Mack. They're basically saying like he's the only guy. If he goes off, then RIP to those best ball teams.
I mean, I think the right number for him to get week one, I hope he gets 14.3 DraftKings points, because that will not be enough to bury me in tournaments where I won't play him, and that'll be enough to get my cash game lineups across the line, which is where
you,
I will play him.
You will fade him in cash games?
No, I just said I'm playing.
Okay, you're playing.
I said 14.3 points is good to not play him in tournaments, but good enough to put him in my cash game team.
I'm glad that I'm at least 18 weeks away from getting my cash shell going.
Yeah. That's always an interesting thing where you're weighing your tournament versus your cash. It's like cheering for the under in a football game where you're hoping they advance down the field far enough to pin the other team, inside the 10 so that the other team comes back. And then they pin the other team inside the 10. You want them to do good, but not too good. As far as the Giants go, you mentioned Wandale. Is Galladay just dust? Like, is there any sort of hope for him?
My reading of the situation is they would have stone cold not played him week one if Colin Johnson didn't tear his ACL.
Was that not the most savage report ever? Running routes with the stiffness of a mannequin.
A mannequin.
Is that guy employed by the team? Like that would be even more funny.
I saw Pat Thorman in the chat earlier. That feels like a Pat Thorman line from his snaps and
Pace article.
Yeah. Like that was just beautiful.
But yeah, like what we had such high expectations of this Giants offense earlier this offseason.
Speaking of regrets, I think a lot of my early teams with really good ADP values might have a Daniel Jones sized anchor on them, unfortunately.
Well, and Galladay,
Oh no, I was drafting Wandale because I've watched football before.
Well, the few, I used another site's projections at first.
That other site's projections did like Kenny Galladay.
They liked Galladay a lot.
Galladay is our generation's Breshad Perriman, and I want everyone all season long when Galladay does shit to at him and say thanks, Leone.
No one be mean to Leone. Michael has a hard job. Him getting one player wrong and working like everyone, leave Michael alone. Michael is literally the best.
That's the bit. He's the best, and which means we can razz him the one fucking time he messes up.
All right, are you concerned at all about this Giants offense, Peter?
I mean, I'm not concerned about the offense. I'm excited to see it with Daboll. I feel like we're all drafters are now coming around on not being fearful about Saquon. They're sold on him. We're excited about Wandale. Daniel Jones. We want to see him be a poor man's Josh Allen in this offense. They're one of the teams I'm most excited to see. Kadarius Toney still feels like a mystery box as far as what we're going to get from him.
He said today he's good to go too, which is big.
BFD, right? Like,
Yes, pretty BFD to me because of how much I've drafted him.
Do you keep up with their Ravens running back situation, Davis?
Yes.
It's his
because
job.
That's another, yeah.
It's his job to stay on top of J.K.
Dobbins. How mad are people going to be when J.K. Dobbins gets four touches in week one and Justice Hill leads that backfield in rushing?
Dobbins is saying that he's fine, yada, yada, yada.
Harbaugh's saying he's fine, too.
And then you see him at that drill, like, unless you got a rock in your shoe, bud, you are not fine at all.
Man, he is.
What, you want him to run like a robot, dude? Twitter. You want him to run like a robot?
It's like, no, he's doing the drill, and right afterwards, like, ah. That's like me. That's like me playing basketball.
Why, if I was Dobbins, again, this is, and I'm certainly not. In my head, I'd be like, these fantasy guys are so fucking crazy. I just want to make it seem like, I hope they think I'm out for the whole season. I hope they think I'm going to do jack shit. And then pleasantly surprise them when I'm on the field performing. I don't get why he gets so mad.
He hasn't been paid yet, right?
Is that what's going on?
I mean, he was a second round pick, right? So he probably has made like $2 million in his career or whatever. So it's like he needs to dispel any idea. Because, you know, part of getting a contract is like the court of public opinion. You know, that's definitely part of it. Like if the fans are like, whatever, screw J.K. Dobbins, the team is going to be a little bit less likely to bring him back. But if all the fans want him back, I mean, I'm not saying that's a big part of it, but it's definitely part of it.
Davis, what is your biggest regret of all your bags?
Well, before last week, it was definitely Albert Okwuegbunam, right? Before Greg Dulcich got put on probably Tyrion Davis Price just going so heavy on TDP early. And
yeah, but
drafting.
That take is not exactly as bad as it if you were like a big Trey Sermon guy.
As it stands right now, I have gotten extremely lucky in terms of how my takes are playing out this offseason. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to mean I make money, but I mean, generally speaking, by this point of the offseason, you're looking at one guy on your first page of exposures who's just dead, right? He's been out for the year, torn his knee or whatever.
Wouldn't you guys say in general, unless you just were going ham on Tim Patrick, it's almost impossible to stare at your exposures right now and be like, God, there's this gaping hole.
Josh Jacobs, Gibson.
Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
My other one, along with Rojo at 15%, the one I don't looking at when I scroll through is I also have Isaiah Spiller at 15%. And those two don't feel good.
If you were a Trey Lance fudder when he was cheap, you're probably a little annoyed. Because now if you want to get any Trey Lance, you have to pay full price. Like if you weren't drafting Trey Lance in the 10th round, that's probably annoying to look at your quarterback exposures.
People are still worried about this Jimmy G stuff. I mean, they're
big time.
I was like, this is a non-story. I was getting comments left and right this isn't any backup. Someone said that. What did they say that he was gonna? This was gonna be like a mental block for Lance on the field, just knowing Jimmy G is staring him down. I was like, what the fuck are you guys talking?
Jimmy G.
About?
Kyle Shanahan literally said Jimmy G doesn't even have a playbook. What are we doing?
That just seems like bad form.
that seems like he might have been like overstating things and just talking without really having.
I mean, Jimmy G is an overqualified backup quarterback. They've tried to win a Super Bowl with him. He literally is incapable because he is not accurate enough over the middle of the field or accurate enough deep enough down the field. Trey Lance might be worse, but his ceiling outcomes are better. Kyle Shanahan is a smart enough guy to understand the differences between that. And I think the funniest outcome, though, is the Niners suck and they don't win the division. They don't make the playoffs. And Lance has bad passing stats, but he runs for like 14 touchdowns and the haters and losers are just so mad. They're just like, I can't believe this. It's not real fan. It's like, I mean, Jalen Hurts was quarterback 1 through 9 weeks last year, and people were like saying the rules of the game should be changed, that quarterback rushing yards should be scored differently because they were so mad.
I'd be mad when Malik Willis takes over as well.
You're so twisted in your takes, Dave. You were full fading Treylon Burks, then he scores the touchdown and you're back in. I mean,
but I'm not denying it. I'm not denying the roller coaster that I live on week to week.
Well, I think that's a great thing about you, Dave, is because you have it both ways. Like, you understand you're kind of an irrational fan. Your heart gets caught up. But then when it comes to every other team, you're just a cool, calculated EV hunter. And I think right. That's what's so special about you.
Well, no, not EV hunter. I still live a little.
Sarcastic. I actually say you're a roller coaster everywhere.
I have a regret not drafting Isaiah Pacheco when he was free. When it became clear that he was like going to be the starting kicker, like not taking him in the 18th round, and then taking him a couple times at like his peak price, that feels bad.
I thought he was on the a poor man's Pierce trajectory there,
or Darwin Thompson.
He goes at 150 still in most of the underdog drafts. And I've been getting him because I was like you, Davis. I wasn't drafting him early, clearly, by my Roja stuff. And I've been like, I'm fine getting my Pacheco exposure at 150, even if it's a little more than what other people got it at.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like a regret that I have is too much Kelsey.
Really?
No, don't sweat that, man.
Well, just because the Pitts love and
that is a regret. Not taking Pitts on all 150 teams is a regret I'm currently having.
Yeah. So taking Kelsey so earlier when I could have, because I was taking him in the first round, end of the first round would take him. And it's like, well, I could have just waited to the beginning of the second round and drafted Pitts. So that was probably a regret that I have. I was happy at the Kamara exposure that I got, fading the noise of him possibly being suspended.
Yeah, I would say fourth round Kamara teams, if I had to choose one player at 180p that existed for like more than a day, probably like the cadre of teams I would make most likely to win Best Ball Mania 3.
Yeah. I was also seeing Easy in the chat was asking any Will Fuller regrets.
I clicked on a team with him on it, a BBM3 team.
You know who's got Will Fuller regrets?
Who?
Patrick Kurain, who...
I thought he was heavier on Julio than Fuller.
Well, maybe he was before Julio signed with the Bucks, but he kept drafting Fuller. He told me a couple weeks ago Will Fuller was his most drafted player.
You want to hear something messed up? Is I'm at 11% Fuller in BBM3, which I'm fine with.
I got 9%.
But I think I would have more. But I have to thank the market and I have to thank the community for stop drafting him to the point he was never at the top of the queue whereas when he was there, I was like, I sure like Will Fuller here. So I just want to thank everyone for pushing him out of sight and out of mind and allowing me to pump the brakes on him because I did truly forget about him in probably like the last 15 drafts.
Yeah. I think the writing was on the wall whenever Josh Gordon was signed to the Titans practice squad. It's like, if Flash is being signed.
Well, no, Charles Robinson had the death knell for Will Fuller with Josh Norris like 10 or 11 days ago, where he was like, not only does it seem like Will Fuller doesn't want to play, but teams aren't really wanting to coax him out of his self-imposed retirement either.
Yeah.
I feel like I can be rational. I was going too hard on him. I still think he signs and plays somewhere. I don't know if he'll be good. I don't know how long it'll take him to get caught up to speed, but I think he plays football this year.
There's some arcane, I'm unable to explain it, reason why you'd rather sign a veteran after week one than right now. It's like, it has something to do with how their number counts against the salary cap or something. So it's like same thing for Odell, Manny Sanders, those type of guys. Like it makes more sense for them to sign – makes more sense for the teams to sign them after week one.
Well, also the players too, right? Because they'll have more leverage if a good team loses one of their deep threats or whatever, all of a sudden Fuller and his agent can maybe get a little more money than they're just getting right now.
Yes. Yeah, that is true. I mean, I hope Will Fuller signs, but I also
Cowboys need to just buck up and grab him. I mean, what this
I don't really know what they're doing. The Cowboys, it's not the rollout for the Cowboys this offseason has been pretty bad.
Not just the Cowboys, but also the Ravens too, right? Like, they don't really have clear-cut answers.
Well, at least the Ravens haven't lost a starting offensive lineman or all. What was it? The Ravens had their three starting running backs and their three starting defensive backs all suffer season-ending injuries in the preseason last year. So the Ravens are probably feeling fine. The Ravens are probably looking in the, we're good to go.
Well, I'm just talking about their wide receiver personnel that they have this year. We thought they would sign somebody.
They got D-Rob to run wind sprints.
It's crazy.
If you throw the ball 360 times a year, like, what's the functional difference between DeMarcus Robinson and Will Fuller?
So who's the wide receiver three on the Raiders now?
Mac Hollins, who we've met.
How dare I forget?
How dare you?
Are we taking flyers on Mac Hollins over Labor Day weekend?
I'm in a dynasty startup draft right now where we're like down at the end of it, and I just took Mac Hollins. I'd rather
take Kyle Phillips, if we're being honest.
Buddy, Kyle Phillips went ahead of Robert Woods in this league, and the chat told me to tell you.
No.
Do you know what's going to be hilarious about Kyle Phillips? He's going to crush early with Tannehill. Yes. It's going to be great.
Yes, yes, yes.
But the team's not going to be doing well because Tanny's checking down to Kyle Phillips every other pass. They're going to put in Malik Willis, and then Kyle Phillips is just off to the pass.
Is done, and then Traylon is going to go. I foresee it in my mind's eye. Totally. Has
thoughts.
Kyle Phillips is going to just set the table. He's going to set the table perfectly for King Henry, just converting third downs and letting King Henry have just an additional two carries, then converting the third down again. And just
this version of the Titans offense that you were imagining is like the most painful thing. I just cannot.
Kyle Phillips, 2 yard crossers to set up Derrick Henry, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Yeah. I mean, what an offense.
It's going to happen.
Oh man.
Although the Harold Landry news did think, okay, well, maybe they're not going to be as good defensively, so maybe that will help their, you know.
Harold Landry is like taking up a lot of space inside of your brain, Dave.
He was literally the third best defensive player we had. Like, he was all Pro Bowl linebacker. So highest paid linebacker that there was, and now he's done. So that was the silver lining that I created in my head. That was a glass half full situation I created in my head. Who are some guys, Peter, that you have been high on that it has actually worked out really well in your favor?
I mean, my highest owned guy is KJ Hamler, and I'm still pretty excited about that. And because I was drafting him pre-Patrick stuff, so that was my good run out. I got a decent bailout there, and then I've still been drafting him at his 150 ADP. So I feel good about Hamler.
Our friend Brian Hooper did an overlay of me and Pete's exposures, and it's just Spider-Man meme. It's just where we just have been drafting the same dudes.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun to try to figure out, because he created the basket of exposures, and it was trying to see which one of us was pulling those up. You see, like, the Albert O 14%. I was like, I know who did that.
Yeah, but then he put Herzig in there, and then they all just went back down.
Just scooped it back down.
Herzig had some hot takes recently on Twitter, I saw.
Herzig has like 28% CPAT, which seems good to me, honestly. Yeah. I take no umbrage with that.
Herzig posted a fun one the other day. Well, he had a weird structure one, but it also had Josh Allen, T. Higgins, and he made the point of how few teams would have that combo based on their ADP, T. Higgins, early third, Josh Allen always going, you know, late third, early fourth. I wish my brain was operating on that level right now to go out and get some of those combos I know I don't have, but it's mush right now. So I'll just keep drafting anchored to ADP because I can't live a little kitchen.
I've been like, my brain is so rotted by like thinking about like, who is the guy you need in week 17? And like, some of these old guys that I've been taking, I'm just like, I can't.
Oh,
do
you're gonna have
anymore.
A come to Jesus moment on Sammy Watkins? Right?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Sammy more Watkins, like, you're out on now.
No, more like Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Agholor and Donovan Peoples Jones. I'm just like, These guys are not going to be who you need in week 17.
You're now seeing that maybe their upside is not what you need to win.
Sammy can totally be the guy you need in week 17. That is just as true today as it was.
There's no chance. No chance.
There's definitely have you seen Sammy
Watkins?
Davis,
for you to tell me like you see more ways that Tannehill does not play than he does play, and then you're saying, oh yeah, Sammy's a lock to be a week 17 guy.
He's not a lock. I'm just saying he can.
Doesn't it make you nervous that Silva's also on Sammy Watkins? That would just be a big red flag for me.
Silva, I would actually say the opposite. So the strength of what Silva does in fantasy football is like correctly identify who's good and who's bad in a way that I cannot do. Like I can't watch
the narrative with Sammy's been bad his entire career. When did that change?
Sammy was always miscast. He was miscast.
It was revisionist history going on.
No, misunderstood. No. I hated people don't even know because they haven't been around long enough. I hated Sammy Watkins as a prospect. I was anti-Sammy, anti him on the Bills, anti him on the Rams, all that stuff. But once he got typecast as this 9 route only veteran minimum guy, I was like, he's way better than that, which he is. And that's that.
This is what I'll say. What if Sammy Watkins is the guy you need weeks 1 through 4? I could.
That's fine. That's that also. Yeah,
but
given,
for you saying given, that, like,
given my my dollar cost average on Sammy Watkins, like one good vintage 110 yard 2 touchdown Sammy Watkins game is chef's kiss.
There's just no way that Sammy's going to be the guy you need playing in cold weather games.
It's a dome game.
It doesn't matter. The games before that are going to be cold weather games.
What if Sammy Watkins
stays healthy?
No. What if he hurts his hamstring in week 3, comes back in week 16, and then has 150-1 in week 17 against the Vikings?
I need to go draft a Sammy Watkins, Jalen Reagor team right now.
No, Pete, have you noticed this, though, that wide receiver pretty much there's not a draftable guy after round 15 now? It's
disgusting.
It is. I mean, really,
Kyle Phillips.
We say this facetiously, but the ship chasers have truly ruined fantasy football. I mean, I was in a home league draft. My home league draft last weekend at one point had 14 consecutive wide receiver selections for like a league that 3 years ago would have taken Nick Chubb over Justin Jefferson. Like,
but
it is insane.
Davis, your league listens to all the stuff that you're on. So, I mean, I can attest to this because I was at your wedding and they were telling me about all the stuff. So they are, you know, semi-sharp where they're listening and having there's some sort of influence
there.
You'd say
they're sharp adjacent.
Sharp adjacent. So it's,
my league was not that sharp. There were tons.
I saw the shirts you were wearing. I could agree.
Yeah, right. There were tons of wide receivers left, and I'd already spent like the big bucks, so I couldn't get them, and I was just like biting right here.
What percentage of the cap does Derrick Henry go for at David Kitchen's home auction?
Well, not that he wasn't the guy. It was we changed.
If it was Boomers, it would be Jonathan Taylor.
We changed the Superflex this year, and so there was some people that just did not understand the value of quarterbacks really. And some people that were just hyping other players up way too much. But again, in auction, you have people that are like rivals against other people in the league and they don't want you to have that player. And there's all sorts of stuff that happens. It's not
sure,
your traditional.
Anyway, no one cares about Soccer Dave's home Superflex auction league. Even the main event has become like, you can get buried by the wide receiver avalanche in the main event, which like literally my first main event, it was like you could get really good wide receivers in like the 10th round. Now it's like Wandale Robinson is like 50-50 to be gone when you're on the clock in the 11th round. Like it's tough out there.
But Wandale Robinson should be that way. That was the whole reason why you were
drafting
earlier this year.
David,
June.
Drafting in an efficient market is much less fun than drafting in an inefficient market.
You say that, but you just said that you might draft 100 teams on Labor Day.
Well, I'm the market maker.
Yeah. you move the lines?
No, I just am. I just, it's, don't get lazy now, bro. I want to win the stupid fucking $1 million.
Are you drafting Dulcich now since you have all your Albert O bags?
He's on IR, Dave.
Well, he might come back.
No, I'm not drafting a backup tight end who didn't play at all in training camp and is going to miss the first four games of the season.
You just said that the thesis behind the Sammy play is that he hurts his hamstring and then comes back to win.
I said, what if, bro? I said, what if?
Greg Dulcich versus Sammy Watkins, full season, half point PPR.
This is like our Devontae Parker versus Dotson.
The Dulcich thing got like so out of control in our little disgusting corner.
I wonder how that happened, David, because someone was calling it a conspiracy theory and a false flag, and you were about to get buried. You got bailed out by that.
I was about to get beyond buried because clearly – the week before they put him on the IR, Hackett said, we're doing everything we can to get him ready for week one, which just like brings me to like a $6 million man scene where they're, you know, they're like trying to like fix up every part of him. So clearly they hate Albert O. He just is getting very lucky.
Nathaniel Hackett hates Albert O and he's going to have no choice.
Hates him.
Tim Patrick Dulcich. It's like, sorry, Hackett. You're going to have to roll him out there, buddy.
Which it's bizarre. Like what? Why would you hate this guy? It's kind of like how Hayden's brain has been broken by the Trey Sermon stuff. It's like, that's me and Alberto.
Well, some people think that the Niners hate Trey Lance, and that's why they
I actually believe that. I believe Kyle Shanahan, if he had his way, would go back in time and undo that transaction. I think he wanted to take Mac Jones and he got bullied by the media into taking Trey Lance. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts.
Shanahan drafted Trey Lance in the 7th round of a draft because he was so excited about the upside and then immediately wished he would have just waited for Kirk Cousins later. That's what got us.
Oh, I had this galaxy brain thought the other day.
Oh boy.
I'm wondering Pete's take on this. So lots of drafters last season who had access to really good projections and rankings in game theory talk and who generally you would say are sharper than the average person drafting actually drafted dead teams because of how high that group of people was on Lance and Fields. So I wonder what that is like. What do you think the equivalent of that is this year? Where like this sharp-ish or at least well-informed group of people, what is something that could like totally ruin their chances of winning $1 million?
Well, first of all, I'll say that's equivalent to the like late DFS GPP steam, right? Where everyone's like, CeeDee Lamb's going to be sub 10%. He has this insane upside. He's the stone cold GPP lock of the week. And then you flip over the cards and he's 22% in the SPY. And you're like, all the sharp people ended up in the same thing and then just ended up being sheep and made a suboptimal play.
Well, and Lance and Fields weren't exactly like, They might have been on dead teams, but they weren't like
super expensive. But right. A quarterback, the opportunity cost of losing a quarterback just got expensive. Killed teams. Like it's different if you say you took Jamison Crowder or whatever and in the 13th round, he does nothing versus if you're rocking a 2 QB build with Trey Lance, like that kills the team.
Can I give an answer? Juju could be, and I like Juju, but Juju could be that.
You're
guy.
Actually right. Juju is totally the answer of like the I think I'm smarter guy, and then it turns out Juju still stinks.
Yeah, or he's just like one of many.
You're actually totally right. That's sad, but there you go, Peter, I mean, I'd be one of the answer, but that is clearly the answer. Yeah, of like
Same reasoning for the Packers as well. If it's not one particular guy, it's just a bunch of guys that are just.
I think it's hard for it to be anyone other than a quarterback, though, in actual practice, right? Because if Kyle Pitts busts, I mean, tight ends score so little, and if the other elite tight ends are mediocre, like you're not going to get buried there. But the quarterback, if you take a zero at quarterback,
well, that's
going to whatever.
I can confirm that taking zeros at quarterbacks for multiple weeks really hurts your advance rate via personal experience. Turns out the Lance Fields Tua teams were not what you needed to win $1 million.
Mobile quarterbacks all get hurt, right? Like these, the week 17 theories will all go. Like it won't even matter, right?
Well, don't you think? Do you think? Because last year, I'm trying to think of the closest comp to Lance, and it would have been like the Desmond Ridder in Mariota. And if we were all drafting Ridder in the 13th, I wonder if there was a less exciting quarterback than Mariota there. Say it was a Carson Wentz type or something. Would we have pushed Ridder up higher knowing like Ritter's going to dust this guy? They have to get him on the field. And then he doesn't play the whole year. It almost seems like we didn't quite get the situation to line up for another Lance Bagel.
I mean,
if anything, he'd probably be Malik.
It's just different because none of them were first rounders. Like, it's a very, very big difference.
Yeah, the quarterback class this year sucked. I mean,
it does, funnily enough, it does look like Pickett is going to dust off Trubisky pretty quickly, which is really funny considering he was the 20th pick. And Fields sat, what, 6 games behind Dalton. Lance played 2 games. Funnily, Mac Jones leading the way was really funny. Well,
that's why it just feels like it's going to be completely opposite how it played out last year, where we were all aggressively drafting those rookie quarterbacks. Even Zach Wilson was getting pushed up. Obviously, Lawrence, Fields, Lance. This year, they're all buried, and it's like, I could see paths to Pickett, Ridder, and Malik Willis all being fantasy relevant the last 3 to 4 weeks of the season.
Malik Willis being who you need would be quite the turn. That would be something.
Hurts.
I'm here for it.
Hurts not having a good season rushing for whatever reason could also be hurt a lot of teams.
Well, that won't happen, but him just like true. I mean,
if he has a season like Lamar did, remember when Lamar, after Lamar's big season and he came back next year, didn't really do that great. He's like QB, what, 15 or 16?
No, yeah, no, that didn't happen.
I also know that this is an obvious point, but it is like the whole reason we're drafting guys like Lance and that is because we know that there is a scary floor there too, but we're chasing the upside. Like if you don't want the zero, you just take fucking Kirk Cousins, right? I mean, that's the risk you're taking on when you make those picks. We know that half the time or whatever percentage of the time, that's just going to blow up in your face. The real question is if so many people are doing it within a hive mind, is it actually not as sharp? Are you not getting it as good as you actually think?
Well, and you know, Hayden did this research, which I think everyone kind of thought was like cool and fun and then moved on, but basically showed that not only that inside of similar roster constructions, people are also taking the same players. So like people who do anchor RB are taking the exact same players, and people who do zero RB are not only following a similar construction, but they're like literally duping each other. So it's like, there actually is like such, I think, this hidden value in doing anchor RB, but doing it with Ezekiel Elliott and Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz or whatever. Like just like getting like players who people like you don't like. Like how many Wandale teams are going to look the same? How many Wandale teams are going to have like 10 of 10 overlap? Because the type of people that take him are the same type of person.
Yeah, I mean, the earlier the guy is going, the more it look like it, you know, the Zeke and David Montgomery's are probably the better example of like,
yes,
you're never going to see like 4 jacked up wide receivers and then Zeke, or very rarely, unless.
But I'm saying, and so is that like, it's sure that it should like, yeah, combinatorially, you should actually be doing that.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson was number 10. He went from being,
but he missed 2 games. He was top 7.
This is in 2020. He played the same amount of games he played the game before. So
if Hurts does as a rusher what Lamar did in 2020 with 1,000 yards and 7 rushing touchdowns, you're calling that good. You're saying all good.
Okay. Final thoughts before this is our last best ball show of the Swolecast. Next week, well, I mean, I will kidnap Tuttle and put him on the show if I have to. Like he,
I'm
has
excited
no
to see if he even.
If Tuttle's not here, I mean, something went right. He got fired or something. I mean, he's legally required to show up.
He
for
is.
Week one.
It's literally part of his job.
Yeah, I don't like to be litigious, but
I'll serve Tuttle. Yeah. I'll have someone drive a tractor out to wherever the hell he lives. Serve him.
All you gotta do is tempt him with a dead guy's mattress, and
he loves a good free dead guy mattress.
Classic.
Oh, also, right. Kitchen, we should tell people because people are very confused when we do our shows. We are going to be settling into a regular cadence. Do you want to let the people know?
You let the people people know.
He doesn't remember.
I think it's 12:30 on Wednesdays, but I'm not certain. 12:30 Central Time. 1:30
legitimate time zone, East Coast, West Coast.
12:30 best time zone. Yes. So
put it on your calendar, recurring invite, 18 weeks popping up there. Turn notifications on.
Oh, 22 yeah. weeks, dude. You think yeah. we're not doing a Swolecast for the Super Bowl?
I just always assume that the budget, they're not going to have any money in the couch cushions by the time they see how the show's performing then.
Yeah. And we were going to do a Wednesday show this week like we usually do, but I had to lead the all hands, our portion of the all hands meeting for Better Collective. So
yeah, totally.
Big moves.
I mean, people said it really good and that Dan should watch his back. So that's all I needed to know. Final thoughts, Davis?
I really hope Sammy Watkins is the guy you need at least 1 week this season. Not even week 17, just 1 week, Sammy. Be the guy you need.
Peter?
I hope Ronald Jones, whether it's with the Chiefs or with an unnamed team,
scores a touchdown.
Just one touch. Just basically an olive branch of hope is all I need.
Yeah.
I would just say that both of you are inspirations to me and to countless others out there. Mm. You know, you take a look back, the fantasy football analysts 10 years ago, they didn't have the opportunity to do this. And you guys are taking what has been given to you. And that is the opportunity to do hundreds of drafts, best ball drafts.
No, you used to be able to do it. You just had to do them via email on myfantasyleague.com.
Right. But you could not get in the sheer volume of leagues. Like, you just could not do it. And you guys have done it. And Pete, you have done like 100 streams with of just best ball drafts. And so kudos to you guys. With it being Labor Day weekend, I just want you guys to take a day off. It's like Holly said to me at Davis's wedding when she saw all your friends there, how does he have this many friends and still work so hard? And
no, she did.
Yes, she did. She said, how does he get so much
how
done?
How did Holly get two faulty premises into one set?
I know. It's incredible.
How does he get so much done with all these friends? Like, he has a life is basically what she was getting at. And, you know, I have too much respect for you, Davis, to let her in on that. But I will say,
thanks for not outing me.
Yeah.
I'm going to text Lauren right now and say, Kitchen, just give me the rest of the weekend off. I don't
have to do anything. Yeah, go smoke you a Boston butt. Everyone have a good Labor Day weekend. And next week, it's going to be grind time. We are going to be talking about quarterbacks, cash game quarterbacks, tournaments, making lineups on here, going full galaxy brain. And it is going to be fun. So hit that like button, subscribe, get those noties going. And we'll see you next week here on the Swolecast from RotoGrinders.com. Peace.